Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, as Pastor Randy said, we do travel a lot. We've been on the road for 12 years. We travel. You guys are like, oh my gosh, not consistently, but you know, we do go home for breaks at times. But we have been traveling for 12 years, and I have a ministry called Elevate Industries, of which you'll see behind me on the screen. Those are the two websites you can visit. The students that were up here are from a school called Impact School of Leadership, and that school is based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You can go to impactschool.us. If you're a junior or senior in high school and you just have a calling upon your life to go in ministry, then you know what? Go check out Impact School. That's my water. Why are you taking my... Sorry, I'm like, you know what? She stole my water. I have ADD. I'm like, squirrel, there goes my water. Okay, anyways. You share everything. I love you. You know, for the past 12 years, been traveling and doing ministry, and that's what Elevate Industries is. I speak in high schools and middle schools and motivate students to make right choices. I was here, what, 5-6 years ago, you know, when I was a lot skinnier, and I was, what'd he say? Not a lot, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, thank you. Yeah, don't steal my water, babe, I love you, but, you know. I'm picky about my water, okay? But, you know, I've been traveling and doing that for about 12 years now, and love speaking to students in high schools. It just revs me up, and I've been going to Ireland for the past 5 years, and this is going to be our sixth time going over there. Last year was the first time I brought my wife, and because she told me, she's like, listen, if you go to Ireland one more time and you do not bring me, you are not going to have a place to sleep when you come home. So I was like, Ireland, place to rest my head. You can come with me, you know. So I brought my lovely wife with me, and she, as you can see, is my better half, absolutely. She brings an element. Not only can she sing, but she has an anointing that comes with it. And when we go into high schools, we're not allowed to sing Christian songs, okay? So we pick positive secular songs, and we sing those to students, okay? So we're going to do one of those songs that we're singing. This is like the first time we're doing this for anybody, okay? This song that we picked this song, it's called Let It Be by the Beatles, okay? And we're going to be doing this song over in Ireland this year, okay? So when I asked her to come with me last year, she said, listen, I'm coming, but you're going to be singing with me. And I said, what? Hold on a second. Listen, I feel like I can sing. I think I can sing. I sing in the shower, but she's like, no, you're singing. I got to pull you out more. I am terrified of singing, okay, in front of people. So I can speak in front of, I don't care how many people. When it comes to singing, I'm terrified. But she pulled me out of my shell, and she's like, listen, you got to start singing. So I thank her for that. But this, I hope you guys enjoy this. It's called Let It Be by the Beatles. Let's do this.
Myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be.
Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be.
Though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they may see. There will be an answer. Let it be.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. There will be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be.
When the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow. Let it be.
Up to the sound of music, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That's one of the songs we'll be doing over there in Ireland, and Jess pulls me along, as you can see, with that. My goodness, she's incredible. Standing next to her, being able to sing, that's a dream, honestly. It is. So love doing that with you, babe. Love you. Genesis chapter 6, before you guys start going, aw, Genesis chapter 6. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. I got to get back here real quick, grab a couple items. I love your church. The people in your church are very awesome. One of those people, his name is Josh Abbott. And I said, I texted him last night. I don't even know what to do with this thing, you know. This is like a... Oh, here. Okay, let's just set that right there. Josh, I'll set it, you know, right here for you, sir. And be very gentle with that. But I texted him like 10:30 last night, and I said, man, I got this idea with my message to go perfectly. Josh is the person that you do with this stuff. He's like, I'm like, hey, if you can bring this would be great. I need a mallet and a sword. If there's any way possible you can bring that, would be great. And I show up, and he's got this stinking Braveheart. I'm yeah, oh, Lord of the Rings, okay. Lord of the Rings sword. I'd rather go with Braveheart, you know. I'm Scottish, I'd eat. You know, man, I think he's going to bring like a toy sword his kid had, you know, and he like, go big or go home, Josh. Jeez. Genesis chapter 6, let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this beautiful church, these beautiful people. Thank you so much for these people, God. I pray that you'll bless them this morning. Let them be blessed. Let them be blessed by your word, God. I pray it'll be your words and not mine, God. My words fail, but your words never fail, God. You remain faithful even when we are unfaithful, because you cannot deny yourself, because you are faithful, God. Your character, integrity, anything good in us comes from you. And I pray, God, that you'll speak through me this morning. I pray that these people will be blessed. And let us learn to be faithful in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 6 speaks of a story that is a little bit scary to me. When I think of faith in the Bible, the first person that comes to mind is Noah. And the reason why is because of the task that God gave him. It wasn't, you know, go and, I mean, yeah, parting the Red Sea, that's big too. Okay. Give it to Moses there. But he just had to put a stick in the ground, okay? God did the rest. He just had to take his stick. Here's 2 million people behind him. Part of, you know, whatever. Okay, this is, and then immediately there's some results there, okay? Well, Noah, to me, this guy, he was faithful for 120 years and 7 days. This man was faithful. Genesis chapter 6, it says the story of Noah. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at the time. And he walked in close fellowship with God. Noah was the father of 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. How would you like to have those names? Now God saw that the earth had become corrupt and was filled with violence. God observed all the corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. So God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. This is God speaking. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. And then he tells Noah this. This is the scary part. Noah, this is your task, okay? This is what I'm going to wipe the earth clean. But Noah, this is what I want you to do. Verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. Build a large boat. So he's like, I'm going to kill everybody. Noah, build a boat. Okay? Build a large boat from cypress wood. He gets specific. He says from cypress wood. And he says waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout the interior of this boat. Should we call it ship here? Make the boat 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Leave an 18-inch opening below the roof all the way around the boat. Put the door on the side and build 3 decks inside the boat, lower, middle, and upper. Look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will die, God says to Noah. But I will confirm my covenant with you. So enter the boat, you and your wife, your sons, and their 3 wives. Bring a pair of every kind of animal, male and female, into the boat with you to keep them alive during the flood. Verse 20, pairs of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of small animal that scurries along the ground. Why couldn't God leave that part out? The word scurry freaks me out. Every kind of, why did God have to say scurry? What is scurry? This scurry, something like that, slithery. Why did he have to do that? But he said every kind of animal that scurries along the ground will come to keep you, to come to you to be kept alive. So he's entrusting these animals to Noah and his family. And be sure to take on board enough food for your family. And in my mind, I like to hunt, okay? Just got into it since I moved up to Wisconsin about 5 years ago. I'm really excited because I'm going deer hunting this year where I'm actually thinking, I think I might get a deer. In those 5 years, I've never got a deer. So hopefully this place I'm going, they're saying I'm going to get a deer. Okay? So I'm thinking when God says, and be sure to take on board enough food, I'm going, I have enough food, you know? Got these animals. But evidently, God didn't think that way. Take on enough food for your family, for all the animals. So Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him, okay? Noah was a righteous man, it says, the only blameless person living on earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. In order to even hear the voice of God in our lives, we first have to walk in close fellowship with God. The dreams that God calls us to do sometimes will be scary. I think about a time that my wife and I, a week before we got married, I looked at her trying to impress her, as I often try to do still to this day. But I looked at her trying to impress her, and I said, babe, totally joking because I'm completely afraid of heights. Okay, this is a little bit too high for me. And I looked at her and said, babe, you want to go skydiving? She says, And I thought she would say no. And this was before we were married, you know. You want to go skydiving? I'm thinking she's going to say no. I'm going to look like the hero. She says yes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. We go out to the middle of nowhere, Florida, okay? This place doesn't even have a runway. It's a grass runway, not paved. There's two people there. It's not good when a place, a business is not busy. That means they're not good at what they do, okay? And we're entrusting them with our lives. The first time you go skydiving, you have to go what's called a tandem jump. You attach a person to your back, okay? So they take us out to the middle of this field. They make us watch this video. It has this nice Beethoven music playing in the background to make you feel all nice and calm. And then they make you put on this special suit. And this guy that was on, they attach themselves to your back when you're in the plane, okay? Because if there was a South African guy, he was about this tall. And there was a guy from New Zealand, he was about this tall. Well, they put the guy from South Africa that's this tall on my back, okay? They put the guy that's from New Zealand that's like this tall on my wife's back. Doesn't make any sense to me, okay? So if he would have strapped himself to my back when he was outside of the plane, his feet wouldn't even touch the ground. I mean, it's... Come on. Visual people out there. They show us on this video this huge plane, all these people, smiley people. The back of the plane folds down, and they just jump off like it's nothing. Everything's good, and then they take us out to. I'm thinking, oh great, big plane. They take us out to this plane, and the plane's about the size of this pulpit up here. It's a little Cessna. They've ripped the co-pilot seat out. The pilot's talking to himself. Okay, he's got an old army jacket on. Not even joking. Army. Ask my wife. Okay. Army jacket sitting there just talking to himself. I'm like, this is great. We're going to die. A week before I get married. I am dumb, officially, okay? We get in the plane. My wife is like, you know, we get in the plane and we start climbing. And she's just back there just loving life. And I'm so nervous. Like, you know, I got Bilbo Baggins. You're talking about Lord of the Rings. I got Bilbo Baggins strapped to my back, okay? She's got Gandalf strapped to her back. And they tell you, they say, listen, okay, when you're gonna be flying through the air at an incredibly fast rate. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you tell me this on the ground? I wouldn't have gone. You know, he's screaming this in my ear, Bilbo. He's like, we're going to be flying through the air at an incredibly fast rate. I need you to arch everything. I'm like, what are you talking about? So, because your first reaction is to curl up into a little ball and suck your thumb, you know, because you feel like you're going to die. But they want you to arch everything. They just want you to be like, you know, this, flying through the air. Okay, but you want to curl up into a ball, but they tell you not to do that because if you're curled up into a ball, and when he pulls that chute, you'll go into what's called, he called the death roll, and he said that in my ear as we're climbing. We're going to go into a death roll. I look back at my wife, she's like, this is awesome, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, maybe she's not the one. I still got a week of this, you know. Make my decision. We climb up 10,000 feet, right? And all of a sudden, Bilbo opens the door and he says, you know, he wants you to arch everything. There's this little platform, little makeshift platform. We went, I think these guys have been open for maybe a week or so, this business. There's this makeshift platform that they've welded to the side of the plane that you're supposed to stand on. And it's like crooked and stuff. You're up 10,000 feet. Pilot's talking to himself. Wife, yeah. You know, and I'm like, no, Bilbo, yeah. Arch everything. And his face is right here, right? He wants you to arch everything. Okay, so he's like, count of three. He goes, put your foot on the ledge of the plane. And I heard what he said, but I looked back and I said, what? Put your foot on the ledge of the plane. Okay, so I'm hanging outside the plane, right behind me, yeah, you know, 3, 2, 1, he tells me if I don't jump at 3, he's going to push me out of the plane, and I think about that, I'm like, really? Because they don't want you to, like, freak out, knock the pilot out, be on the evening news, right? So you're going to push me out of the plane? Your feet can't even touch the ground right now, dude. So all of a sudden, one, two, three, we jump, flying through the air. I have my eyes closed, right? Because I don't want to see my death coming. Right? You know, because I don't want to see my death come. I'm arching my top half. Matter of fact, I arched my top, but my back, I pulled a muscle in my back because I was going like this so much, you know. But, like, they tell you two hand signals while you're on the ground. They say, listen, okay, if I hit your leg like this, this is why they're on the ground. They say, there's two hand signals because you can't hear a thing when you're going 150 miles an hour through the air. They say, hey, if I do like this on your leg, this means there's something wrong, okay? If you see me go like this in front of your face, this means, you know, we need to correct it quick. And so I'm like, okay, this means there's something wrong. This means we're going to die, okay? So we're flying through the air. I have my eyes closed, and I'm thinking, why hasn't Bilbo pulled the chute, you know? Why hasn't he pulled the chute? And all of a sudden, I feel this on my leg. My eyes are closed. I feel this on my leg, and I'm like, oh, gee, something's wrong, you know? I open my eyes. I see his little bitty hand going like this in front of my face. I'm like, pull the chute, you know? I look down. I'm arching my top half, but my bottom half, I am crouched in the fetal position. Not only am I crouched in the fetal position, but I have his leg scissor locked in between mine. So I'm flying through the air with his leg going out this way, like this. You know, thinking that everything is fine. And he's like... So I undid everything. He pulls the chute. We land. He's literally livid. He's so mad. He's like, stupid American. I was so scared. I was so afraid. You know, I've never been that scared in my life. I look back. My wife's like, let's do it again. I'm like, no. Put the ring on your finger. We're doing this now. You know? I'm never doing that stuff stupid. I got the ring on her finger. I don't do stuff stupid anymore. I'm like, you're mine. No need to impress, right? Has God ever called you to do something scary? Something like just, you just have no idea how you're going to be able to accomplish it? Something that causes you to have faith? Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. And it says, Noah... God gave this task to Noah. Can you imagine the fear he felt when he said, go build a boat? He said, go build this boat. And I love how it says Noah was the only person that was walking in close fellowship with God. If we want to hear God's voice, we have to be walking in close fellowship with him. We have to be close to him. We have to be reading his word. We have to be praying. We got to be walking in close fellowship with God. That means that God, it says that Noah was the only blameless person walking the earth, living on earth at the time. So that means that God had to look at everyone, examine their motives. And out of everyone, Noah was his boy. Noah was the person without blame. The only person walking in close fellowship with God. And God gives him this task. He entrusts him with this task. Now let me say something that might offend you. I'm sorry if I offend you. You can go to, I leave after this. Take your complaints to Pastor Randy, okay? But just because, and I had, this is something God spoke to me. So I long time ago, before I ever started speaking, God said, Jason, you never speak a message that you yourself are not going through. You speak a message and speak out of your weaknesses. I said, okay, God. Speak out of your weaknesses. And this is what I'm going through right now. Out of all the people, God entrusted Noah to do this task. And just because you're walking in close fellowship with your pastor doesn't mean you're walking in close fellowship with God. Do you know that? Just because you're walking in close fellowship with your youth pastor, students, this morning, doesn't mean you're walking in close fellowship with God. You have to be walking in close fellowship with God. You have to be next to Him. Just because that Sunday school teacher approves of you doesn't mean God approves of your motives. And so many times I have to ask myself, God, am I doing this because I'm wanting a pat on my back from my boss? Or whoever? Or am I doing this because you've called me to do it? Because I want to work and serve for an audience of one, not for the crowds. Out of all the crazy things God's called people to do in the Bible, I find this the craziest. God says, build a boat, Noah. Build it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And he says, make it out of a special kind of wood, cypress wood. And he calls him to do it in the middle of the desert when there's never been anything called rain before. Did you know that? Plants watered themselves. Read it in Genesis. Plants watered themselves. This bubble, this springs came up and they watered themselves. There was never anything called rain. Can you imagine Noah going to Home Depot, grabbing all that wood? They're like, what are you doing, Noah? God told me to build a boat. Okay. Little boat, small boat. Nope, 450 feet long, wide, or 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. And everybody looks at Noah like he's crazy. You're crazy, Noah. In the middle of the desert, when there's never been anything called rain, what is this rain you speak of? Sometimes God will call you to do extraordinary, crazy things, and no one else understands. But if God be for you, who be against you? If what God calls you to do doesn't somewhat scare you to death, and you don't have to rely on His strength for the dream that He's giving you, He most likely didn't give you that. Because God gives us crazy dreams, and in order to make us hit our knees and say, God, I rely on You wholeheartedly, I put my faith in You, and I'm going to trust in You for this dream. No matter as scary as it may be. So many times I find myself, you know, I'm a tool guy, Tim the Tool Man, Taylor, I like tools. And I'm teaching my girls there's differences between a tool, a toy and a tool, right? You know, you gotta have respect for a tool, you know, toys, you know, you play with, right? So many times in my ministry, I've always wanted to pick up this. And fight, you know, let's go fight. This is manly. Rah, rah, rah. So many times in my ministry, I've wanted to pick up this tool. But you know what? In my ministry, God's given me this. Jason, I want you to go build. And I want you to be faithful. Luke 16:10. God says, if you're faithful with the little things, God will trust you with the larger things. For 120 years actually in 7 days, Noah pounded on wood, being faithful to what God asked him to do. Can you imagine the people making fun of him? The people laughing at him. How scary it must have been for him and his family. Which, by the way, that movie that came out with Russell Crowe, I was like, that is stupid. I watched that. I was like, what is this? You know? Genesis 6:22, it says, Noah did everything exactly as God commanded him. I love that. This crazy dream that God gives him, and Noah does everything exactly as God commands him. It says, do everything. And he did everything. Do we do everything as God's commanded us to do in life? The little things, not the big things, not the times we have to pick up the sword and fight. I'm talking about the everyday life, the little things where we just, one day at a time, we pound the ground, and we're faithful. We're faithful day in, day out. Noah was obedient. Genesis 7:4, it says, 7 days from now, God says, I will make it rain to pour down on the earth. And it will rain for 40 days and for 40 nights until I've wiped from the earth all the living things I have created. Noah was obedient. He wasn't just obedient for a day. He wasn't just obedient for a week. He wasn't just obedient for 33 years. Noah was obedient to pound that hammer and build that massive boat for 120 years and 7 days. I mean, he's the laughing stock of the town. He's the laughing stock of the town. That requires faith, my friends. You ever been scared before? Like I've talked about the skydiving story. They say that fear is, you know, you have this fear, and there's different things that, you know, they people always quote they. They say, they is usually Google, okay? They say. But they say people are scared of different things, and one of the most, the top two things that people are afraid of are, number two is death, and the number one thing is public speaking. Anybody in here, raise your hand if you're afraid of public speaking. Ma'am, can you come on up here, please, for us, and just messing with you. She's like, I hate, don't like you anymore. But fear will stop us in our tracks from what God wants us to do. Say, Jason, what do you know about fear? I grew up in fear. First memory I ever had of my father was abusive. Some people know my story, some people don't. My father was abusive growing up. The first memory I have of my father, I'm 33 years old, and it's still painful for me to share this story. First memory I had, my father set me across from him at the kitchen table, my brother and I. And in his left hand, he had a Bible. And in his right hand, he had a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum. And he said, sons, if you disobey me, God says in his word that I can kill you. Three years old, that's when fear came in. And I'm talking unimaginable fear. Fear where I had night terrors as a kid. My mom got this glowing cross for me. She put it right by the light switch. I still have it to this day. It's in my girl's room. So when I would wake up not knowing where I was, I could go to that cross and turn on the switch and have the light. Pretty cool analogy, right? Unimaginable fear. When God calls you to do something great. Jess and Daniel, you guys can come back up. You know, so many times we think it's the destination that we need to be excited about. But when Noah was done with that, 120 years, 7 days of just being faithful. Day in, day out. Laughing stock of the town. People making fun of him. His kids coming to him. Dad, what are you doing? Why are we doing this? He was faithful. God's calling us to be faithful this morning. Despite our fear, I don't know what it is, but it's always that destination that we're looking forward to. I wrote a blog a little bit ago, and I want to read it to you. And it's called The Journey to Your Destination. This is God speaking to me. 6 years ago, or that's not it, sorry. It's God speaking to me here. It says, so this guy, he was going to a really important meeting. And the train he was waiting for was late. He really got really ticked off, and because his meeting that was coming up, this meeting was his really big promotion for him. and he got ticked off, and he wanted to be at this meeting. So as he was waiting for this train, he looks around and he sees everyone else around him without a care in the world. And kids are laughing and playing, and parents are joking, and everyone seems to not be worried that the train is late except for him. It frustrates this man so much. Everyone else doesn't even seem to mind. So this man, he stomps his foot, he huffs and he puffs and he grumbles in a loud voice, hoping someone will see his frustration and catch on to the fact that the train is late. Some people acknowledge his frustration, and it begins to make one or two others angry as well, but the rest, they could care less. They're just having the time of their lives. An hour and a half passed the scheduled time, the train finally arrives. The conductor says, "All aboard," and begins taking people's tickets. The frustrated man, along with his frustrated clan, pushes their way to the front. After cutting remarks to the conductor and a nasty look, he takes his place in his seat. He pulls down the shade, folds his arms, wishing he could make his time go faster so he could get to his destination. For the next 2 hours, all he can do is grow angrier and angrier. And obviously, the passengers, they're having the time of their lives. They're looking out the window, pointing at the sights. They're laughing, enjoying the ride, enjoying the journey to the destination. All the angry man can think is how he will be happy when he arrives at his destination. He won't have to deal with these people anymore. He will finally get that promotion. He will finally make this his mark in the world. He'll finally mean something. The final minutes seemed like hours, and he finally got anxious that the train arrived. They pulled into the station, and up he jumped with excitement. In his voice, he finally said, "We're here at my final destination." He pushed his way to the front of the passengers. He jumped off the train and he fell. As he picked himself up, he looked around and he realized this place wasn't all that fun. He realized it was the journey that would prepare him for his destination. If only he had taken it in. This time the man was not angry, but instead he was sad. He was wishing he could turn back time. He wished he could go back to that station and not be so impatient. He wished he could have enjoyed the surroundings and smiled at that little girl that smiled at him. He wished he would have opened his shade and marveled at the magnificent sights, but it was too late. The journey was done, and the destination wasn't all what he thought it would be. He wasn't ready for his meeting. He wasn't prepared for this new place because he didn't take in the journey and learn what he had to teach. The other angry passengers, they looked at him with hate. He made them miss their journey because of his terrible attitude. He never thought the journey would be the lesson he needed to learn. He never thought the journey would prepare him for the final destination. The man was hopeless and felt deep remorse for how he caused others pain. He wished he had had another chance to make things right, to start again. He went to his meeting that he was so anxiously waiting for. He pulled it off, but he didn't get that promotion he was looking for, that he wanted so desperately. The next day, he went to the train, waiting for it to arrive. When the train was late, he began to grumble again, and it was like deja vu. He huffed and he puffed and he kicked and he stomped, angry that he wasn't at his destination. How quickly he forgot the pain he caused and the lessons he didn't learn. He forgot the journey was what would prepare him for his final destination. It's the first time I've ever read that in a service before. pretty vulnerable. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? Speaking of God's faithfulness, that man out there where God has called you to do something great and you're so scared. You don't know if you can do it. You might be afraid because, I don't know, your marriage is messed up, or you might be in an abusive situation like I was when I was a kid. You're afraid, but God's handing you a hammer today. He's not even giving you a sword. And he's just saying, hey, I just want you to build on the foundation. And I want you to enjoy the journey to your destination. I know what it's like to lay in bed at night and cry myself to sleep because I feel like nobody cares. I know what it's like to look in the mirror and not like what I see because my father always told me I was a nobody. Jason, your mother and I were happy before you were born. That's what I heard. But guess what? God's given me this hammer. And I started building on a foundation. Foundation that my father didn't build for me. A foundation that there's character in it. There's integrity. The other night, a foundation where I was able to, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. 4-year-old little girl named Emery. Her hair's red and I call her Peaches because she looks like a little peach to me. She's white skin, red hair, and foundation that the other night she looked at me and said, Daddy, can I accept Jesus into my heart? And I said, yes, sweetheart. And I was able to lead Peaches, Emery, to Jesus. All those years just pounding, being faithful. Man, it's so much better. We just want to pick up the sword and fight. So many times in my ministry, I want to pick up the sword and fight, swing away. God's like, no, before you start fighting, before you start swinging, I want you to build. I want you to build the foundation. What's your foundation built on this morning? What's your foundation built on this morning? We're going to sing this song that I'm going to pray. While we're singing, I pray that God speaks to your heart.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, yes. My song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. The anchor in the waves. Oh. never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let,
continues to play. I don't know what that, I love that last line. When the night is holding on to me, God, you're holding on. You know how many sleepless nights Noah probably got? God, you're wanting me to build this monstrosity of a boat in the middle of a desert where there's never been anything called rain. I want, everybody else has the sword. They're picking up the sword. They're fighting. I just have this little mallet. Noah, I've called you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful, Noah. Because I called you to be something great, to do something great. What Noah didn't realize is God built a whole other generation upon him just swinging away, slapping that hammer 120 years and 7 days. Noah just kept being faithful. And in times he wanted to throw in the towel, times he wanted to give up. Times when he had sleepless nights, God held on to him, because when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. God's calling you to pick up his hammer. It's like when we become Christians, I thought we picked up that sword, and a sword can be this, just being faithful day in, day out. Sometimes evangelists and pastors, they'll sell us, when we become Christians, everything becomes easy for you. That's not true. You get a little hammer like this, and God calls you to be faithful. And guess what? He'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Some of you feel like you're fallen and you can't get up in this room because you've made mistakes. I love Micah 7:8. It says, do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, and I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord himself will be my light. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord himself will be my light. When the night is holding on to me, God, you're holding on. God held on to me as a kid. Through my teenage years, he held on to me.
33 years old. Last week, a couple weeks ago, I was able to lead my little girl to Jesus. And guess what? 33 years later, I'm just pounding that hammer, pounding that hammer, pounding that hammer, pounding that hammer. I changed my future for my little girl. She has a new future. Her daddy looks at her and doesn't swear at her, doesn't hit her. He loves her. And I figured you can change your destiny a lot faster with this than with that. Yeah, it may not look as fancy, just a mallet, but you're building upon something great. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. What's your foundation this morning? Are you building upon Jesus? Are you building upon Jesus? I promised myself I'd never speak a message without giving this opportunity. Say, Jason, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him as my personal Savior. And when you sang that last line, the nights hold on to me. The nights do hold on to me, Jason. I can't sleep at night because I'm afraid. The nights hold on to me, but I know God's holding on. I know God's holding on. If that's you, say, I need Jesus in my life. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, at the count of three, all I want you to do with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm the only one looking right now. So that's me. I just need Jesus in my life. At the count of three, just raise your hand. Raise it high. One, two, three, go. Raise it high. Raise it high. I need Jesus in my life. Raise it high. I want Jesus in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up around this building. Thank you. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. He's going to give you that hammer. And when he gives you that hammer, Luke 16:10, if you're faithful with the little, God will trust you with the larger. You start swinging, build your boat. It says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, that's a fancy way of just saying all have messed up, made mistakes. Sometimes I feel like I'm leading the pack in that. But my God is faithful. So if you raised your hand, would you repeat this prayer with me? And if you've said this prayer before, would you pray it again to encourage those that are praying it for the first time? Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want you in my boat, God. I love you. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now with every head up, everybody looking around. Here we go. All people say, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I got my hammer in my hand and I'm pounding the ground. I've been building my boat, but I'm a little weary. Oh man, I'm a little weary. We serve a God that can pick you up despite your weariness. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He wants to give you rest this morning. Say, Jason, that's me. I'm weary. I'm burdened. I'm weary. I'm burdened. If that's you, just raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Raise your hand. I'm weary. I'm burdened. That's great. We stand with you. Stand to your feet. Say, I'm weary. I'm burdened. I stand with you. I stand with you. I'm weary. I'm burdened. I'm a little tired. I'm a Christian. I know Jesus, but I'm weary right now. I have little burdens on my shoulder, or maybe big burdens on my shoulder. And the night holds on to me. But I just need a little encouragement this morning, knowing that when the night's holding on, God's holding on to me. And I'm telling you, whether it be in your business, it's down in the dumps, whether it be your marriage down in the dumps, whether it be God's called you to build something just crazy, and you're like, I can't do that. Noah did it, and he did it for 120 years and 7 days. He was faithful. He pounded that hammer. God wants to put a hammer in your hand and say, come on, come on. And then, after 120 years and 7 days, guess what Noah got to do? He got to pick up a different tool. And he got to hold this up victoriously. I used to think it was this tool first. No. No. It's not. It's not. It's this. It's this ruggedy old mallet, guys. God, I'll keep going. I'll keep pounding. I'll keep building. Because you've called me to. And on that day, 120 years, hopefully it doesn't take that long, God. 7 days. Maybe, just maybe, I can pick up this. But I gotta earn this. I gotta earn it. Say, Jason, are you saying you gotta earn God's love? Absolutely not. Don't read into that. He freely gives it to you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just being faithful Christians. Faithful to what God's called you to do. We're going to sing this again. At the end, the night's holding on, but God's holding on. I pray that you'll worship with us. Pastor Randy's going to come. Let me pray before she sings. Father God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you for those, God, that say, God, I'm discouraged. I'm lonely. God, I pray that you will be by their side because I know you are, God. The enemy may be gloating, but he's not anymore. Do not gloat over me, my enemies, for though I fall, I will rise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord himself will be my light. And I will swing my hammer. I will build that boat that God's called me to build. And I will be faithful in the little things so God can trust me with the larger. God, I thank you for this congregation. Encourage them. Build their faith, God, and let them build upon a foundation that will change their family's destiny forever, forever. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Holding on to me,
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.